The surprise TV hit of the summer is a show that looks like it could have been made 30 years ago. Stranger Things is a suspense horror show on Netflix. It's set in 1983, about a small town where a boy goes missing one night.
99 out of 100 times, kid goes missing. The kid is with a parent or a relative.
What about the other time?
There's a mysterious government lab, a monster, and boys riding around town on bikes. If you're hearing echoes of E.T. or Goonies or any number of other beloved 80s classics, that's not a coincidence. When the show's creators, Matt and Ross Duffer, pitched Stranger Things, they didn't use a storyboard or a written synopsis. They told me they assembled a trailer made of snippets from 80s films.
I think it was around 30 different movies. A lot of them were from the 80s, but not entirely from the 80s, movies that we cut together to kind of tell the story of the show. But it was cool because then we had, a lot of shots from E.T., but we scored it with, like, John Carpenter synth music. So I think it helped us figure out what the show was going to feel like, and I think it helped Netflix, and other companies and producers understand what we wanted to do with the show.
To us, actually, this stuff, it didn't feel like this hodgepodge. It all felt like a whole when we all put it together and we put the music over, and I think the reason is that all those, the Stephen King stuff, the John Carpenter stuff, the Spielberg stuff, is all just about these small towns and these very ordinary people.
Matt and Ross Duffer are twins. They were born in 1984, a year after the show is set. Stranger Things is the first show they've ever created, and because they didn't know any better, they broke a lot of rules, like casting children as the leads. In the first episode, four boys play Dungeons and Dragons in their parents' basement, a scene not all that different from the Duffers' own childhood.
A shadow grows on the wall behind you, swallowing you in darkness. It is almost here.
What is it?
What if it's the Demogorgon? Oh, Jesus, it's the Demogorgon.
It's not the Demogorgon.
An army of troglodytes charge into the chamber.
Troglodytes.
Told you.
Pretty soon, a new girl appears. The weirdo in the woods. She's got a shaved head and uncanny powers. Also, she barely talks. The Duffer brothers cast an eerily intense 11-year-old to play her, named Millie Bobby Brown.
What was interesting is by the end of the shoot, this 11-year-old girl, I'm going up to her and going, well, how do you feel? What do you want to be doing? Like I was treating her like she's like a 41-year-old Shakespearean
Well,
actor.
And also because she's very, which is something else that most child actors don't have, she's very aware of the camera.
But at the same time, she's like a little...
She's still 11.
She's still
11.
Or one
day she showed up on set and she's just covered head to toe in glitter. And she's like, I don't know where this glitter came from. And it's like, I'm not having this problem with any of my adult actors covered in glitter.
That was a real deal. It was like 40, that was a 45-minute delay.
I don't know if you've tried to get glitter off someone, but it's very difficult. And so we fell behind.
So she's still a child.
It really delayed your production schedule because
yeah, 45 minutes in the morning, which is and you actually have a limited number of time with kids. So as funny as it is to talk about now, it was not funny.
We're like, why are you sparkling? You're like in Twilight.
Yeah, you're not a vampire in Twilight.
Damn, what's going on?
The obsession with this show is more intense than I think anything I have ever seen. What was your oh my god, what have we done here moment?
The first thing that really messed me up was Stephen King tweeted about it. And then I was like, what? I mean, that to me was, because no one else had tweeted really at that point. And he obviously is one of our idols and was such a big inspiration for us and an influence on the show. And that sort of messed me up. You just don't think about it reaching those people. Yeah, it was insane. It was insane.
Even starting Friday morning, because the thing is released, at midnight.
People had finished the show.
So many people had already finished and were tweeting all these great things about it. And then it just kept, through word of mouth, it just started to grow more and more and more. And so even on Twitter, what starts as a few tweets turns into more and more and more, and it just kept growing. And then, you start seeing all this fan art
online,
amazing fan art, and that's when we started realizing that, and all this love for Barb, of course, and that's
I want to talk about Barb. Here's the thing about Barb. She's a very minor character on the show, a nerdy teenager, the pretty girl's best friend on the sidelines.
Nance, seriously, he invited you to his house. His parents aren't home. Come on, you are not this stupid.
And yet, when I asked on Twitter what people wanted to know about Stranger Things, I practically drowned in a tsunami of fervor for Barb.
For us, it's easy to relate to her because high school was it was terrible for us. And I know it was for a lot of people. You're right, you either love it or hate it, and we hated it. And so I think there's a lot of people that feel like they were on the outside looking in, like Barb.
I think the other reason people really connect to her is because no one casts anyone like her. I mean, she looks like someone you might really go to school with.
Yeah, our teens have, like, acne, and it's like, that was, like, great. I'm glad we didn't. To me, it's important to try to keep that and make it feel as real as possible.
To some people, the show apparently felt a little too real. In Stranger Things, a Department of Energy facility gets up to some nefarious activities. And a couple of weeks ago, the real Department of Energy decided it needed to set the record straight.
I love that the Department of Energy issued a public statement that they're not evil. That was like, that's my favorite thing.
Out of thousands of times, scientists, none of them are evil, but it's like...
I bet there's one evil
there's one. Someone in there is evil. Out of 1,000 people, someone's not a good guy.
Someone's up to no good.
Yeah.
That is actually one of the bullet points in the DOE's slightly tongue-in-cheek blog post. Quote, national laboratory scientists aren't evil. Other headlines from the blog post include, the Energy Department doesn't mess with monsters, and the Energy Department doesn't explore parallel universes.
And also, I love how they pretend like they know how an interdimensional monster works.
In the world of Stranger Things, Matt and Ross Duffer actually do know how an interdimensional monster works, in excruciating detail. The twins wrote a 30-page document describing what is actually going on in this world, with answers that the 8-episode show never fully reveals.
We want to try to create a mythology that has specific rules in a backstory, and at least to us, we understand. And then again, even if we're not doling all that out to the audience in this, you know, first season or perhaps in other seasons, we still want to know that we have this solid base and that we know the answers to it. So it doesn't. I want the audience to feel like they're safe, that we have these answers, and if we're not giving it to them, we're not giving it to them for a reason.
Matt Duffer and Ross Duffer, thank you so much for your time, and congratulations on the huge success of Stranger Things.
Oh,
this was so fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for talking.
Thank you.